Thank you for choosing to listen to this message from our pastor, Brother Rob Coons. Let us enter now with the saints of God into a service already in progress.
Revelation chapter 4, verse 1. After this I looked, and behold, a door was opened in heaven. And the first voice which I heard was as it were of a trumpet talking with me, which said, Come up hither, and I will show thee things which must be hereafter. And immediately I was in the Spirit, and behold, a throne was set in heaven, and one sat on that throne. And he that sat was to look upon like jasper and a sardonyx stone. And there was a rainbow round about the throne, in sight like unto an emerald. And round about the throne were 24 seats, and upon the seats I saw 24 elders sitting, clothed in white raiment. And they had on their heads crowns of gold. And out of the throne proceeded lightnings and thundering, and voices. And there were 7 lamps of fire burning before the throne, which are the 7 spirits of God. And before the throne there was a sea of glass like unto crystal. And in the midst of the throne and round about the throne were 4 beasts full of eyes before and behind. And the first beast was like a lion, and the second beast like a calf, and the third beast had a face as a man, and the fourth beast was like a flying eagle. And the 4 beasts had each of them 6 wings about him, and they were full of eyes within. And they rest not day and night, saying, Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, which was, and is to come. And when those beasts give glory and honor and thanks to him that sat on the throne, who liveth forever and ever. And the 24 elders fall down before him that sat on the throne and worshipped him that liveth forever and ever, and cast their crowns before the throne, saying, Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for thou hast created all things for thy pleasure. They are and were created. Going back up to the first part of this chapter, when we look here at it, and it says that he behold, and a door was opened in heaven, and he found himself in the Spirit. Now, brothers and sisters, again, as when we look into the scriptures of such, and as a rule, we usually go to, I'll use the term chronological order of thought again. When we think about what a chronological order is, it's a dispensation or a timely perspective. We could say, chronologically speaking, there is a dispensation of grace. We could say that there was a dispensation of law. And we could say that these things were the extension of the mind of God to show himself and also to bring us into that we could be partakers and come into that Spirit. Now, this door that was opened into, most definitely into the Spirit. There was a door opened that we could get into the place with God. Now, the thing is we know that for that door to become open, that there had to be a preparation and preparing for us that we can enter through that door. Now, when we say that there's a door open, we think, well, there has to be a preparation that we must have to get through that door. But then yet we go to the scriptures and we find that some had climbed up another way. And they were found there without that wedding garment on. If you remember what we just read there, when we find the 24 elders around the throne, they had this white raiment on. This was that raiment that had been tried and purged and purified in the fire. Amen. And they came out white as snow by the washing, regeneration of the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, there were others that found their way in there, and they made it through that door. And when they made it through that door, they were found without the wedding garment on, and they were cast out, cast into outer darkness, according to the word of God and to the scriptures. So when we find a door open, we find that there is a way to enter in through that door. If you would go back into the Old Testament and read the story of Esther when she went before the king for Malachi's sake, the thing is that when she went through there, she was taking a chance because of the days of preparation and things that were saying, she was taking a chance to enter in there. If he would not have entered that scepter out to her, that she would have been put to death. But there was a grace that was given there and shown to her because she came for another and the needs for another, and she was received. So when we think of those shadows and trying to understand the things of the Spirit, again, we know that the invisible things of God and the invisible things of the Godhead are revealed to us by the things which do appear. So we could start understanding the spirit world by looking back over at the allegories. The Bible says in the New Testament, speaking about the things and the events and all the things that took place in the Old Testament, it said those were therefore our examples. In other words, we could see how God's mind and thoughts are. And when we get into the realm of grace, this dispensation time of grace, which is doors opened in this time of grace, and as he saw that door open, there is a closing of that door also. Now the thing is that when we look at this dispensation of grace again, we find that we say ever so oftentimes that people do take the grace of God to lasciviousness. They'll find access to God, and they will find an access to the throne of God. And in this dispensation of grace, they have that. If I went back to some other scriptures that talks about the son of perdition, and there is an unveiling and a revealing of him. We think about the revelation of the Lord Jesus Christ, and we talk so much about it. And we think, you know, that we no longer live, and now it's Christ that lives. And we think, well, praise God. You know, this is an awesome blessing that God has given us by washing us and cleansing us and giving us access to his throne. And we could go boldly to the throne of grace. And we rejoice in those kind of thoughts. And we talk about the revealing of Christ in the present day truth. And if we don't believe that God is in the flesh, we're antichrist. So we bring this Christ into a manifestation in our life, and we rejoice in that. But then yet, on the other hand, when we learn to mirror things and learn that there is everything that we see in the spiritual realm, there is the mirrored side of it, of the anti-side, the antichrist. So the thing is just as well as you see the image, we find out that on the other side is the beastly side, or the son of perdition side. And the thing is that there's going to be a day, the Bible again says that the world is yearning and longing and waiting for the manifestations of the sons of God. Now the thing is as I bring it out to the people of the world and out there in the worldly mind, they'll see us as what we always have been when this transfiguration would take place. But when we're transfigured and his body goes through the metamorphosis, isn't like, wow, now we're a son of God. You see, brothers and sisters, now we are the sons of God. You see, it is made known unto them now. But see, to you and I, this should not be a revelation. It should be a manifestation. And you say, well, the manifestation, Brother Rob, is the transfiguration. Well, the thing though, brothers and sisters, if you could understand that you could surrender this body now over to the works of Christ, and it could be no longer you living, but him living, and everything that you do would glorify the kingdom of God and God. You see, you have took and made that body line up like the woman coming into obedience to the headship of the man. And you've brought that body into an obedience. It's better than sacrifice. But you've brought it into obedience, and it shows forth the love of God, the glory of God, the strength of God, the power of God in this present time. Now, I know that when we differentiate things, you know, and we think of the transfiguration, and we sit and put all this power into this, you know, well, what? Praise God, one day this old body's going to be changed. Yes, we all rejoice in that. Just as I said, it's the world out there yearning for that. And this body, the body of affliction, the body of pain, the body of suffering, the body of sickness, the body of corruption, the body of death. Yes, it's yearning and longing, brothers and sisters, for that manifestation, that it's no longer aging, no longer dealing with the sicknesses, the diseases, and the things. So yes, there is a dimension that we look at that in. But when you've come through that door open in heaven, you do not observe the lying vanities of the body. If you look at the body to understand the revealing of Christ, you're going to be shipwrecked in your faith, and you're going to be despaired in your hope. You see, because that's what happens with people. They'll look at me as a man, or look at you as a man, or look at you as a woman, and they discount hearing the mind of God. They discount listening to the revelation of the Lord. You see, they did the same thing when Jesus, we know he was God, always was God. And when he walked, it was God walking among man, Emmanuel, God with us. And it, you know, hey, this is just the carpenter's son. You know, this is, you know, I mean, I know that guy. He works over there in that craftsman shop over there. He built grandpa's chair. You know, he built mama's table. You know, man, he's just a carpenter's son. But you see, there wasn't many miracles wrought in Nazareth because of that very thing. He become somewhat common to them. You see, and brothers and sisters, this could happen in your lives. You know, and you observe lying vanities, and you forsake your own mercies. Amen. So the thing is if we enter into that door which is opened in heaven, Paul made a statement over again in Corinthians, I believe it's in the 9th chapter, and he was speaking about the work of the Lord, of the bishop or the apostleship in his life. And he was speaking by the authority that was given unto him, but he said, I don't lean upon that. He was speaking about God and the power of God, and put it into the perspective of the people. They could accept him as what he is in God, or if they didn't, to him it didn't matter. You see, and the thing is that what I'm saying is it didn't matter to him, but he knew it mattered to them. So the thing is, brothers and sisters, when we enter into that door that's in heaven, and we come in through that open door, we can come in two different ways. You see, through the grace and this dispensation of grace, there is an access made. Now the thing is I've spoken spoke about different doors before, and if we're going to really differentiate what I'm speaking about here, you know that Satan was cast out of there. Now, we know that when we find one that entered in without the wedding garment is also cast out of there. So there's not going to be a remaining there when we talk about in this third heavenly perspective. The thing is if we would break it down to a body, soul, and spirit, we find here that he was in the spirit on the Lord's day. Now, when we bring it back into you as a personality and we say body, soul, spirit, there is a spirit that's dwelling within you. And the thing is that if you are the elect of God, then you're a Christ child. And this is a pure spirit. It cannot be defiled. It cannot be touched by anything. There ain't no devil of hell, no principality. There's nothing that could lay anything to the charge of God's elect. But the thing is the Bible again does say make your calling and your election sure. So now when we start looking into this perspective of thought, then we're going to have to find out, what am I of? Who is my Father? What spirit am I of? Now, the thing is when you are of God and you have His Spirit and you are sealed in and that seed remaineth in you that you cannot sin, then the thing is that we're going to talk about the revelation of that. This is a knowledge, brothers and sisters, that we teach by coming to revelation knowledge. But revelation knowledge and revelation in the Spirit are two different things. You see, I could talk about the mysteries of godliness, the mysteries of God, the mysteries of iniquity. I could talk about types and shadows and allegories. I could talk about entering into through that door in heaven. And I could speak of the mysteries of God and bring even a finishing to the mysteries of God. But that's not the revelation, brothers and sisters. It is a knowledge. The Bible said knowledge puffeth up. You see, but revelation doesn't puff up. Again, referring to Paul, a man in the revelation, a man before his time, spoke very humbly of who he was with all humility, but trying to get them to look beyond the veil of his human man part into understanding the God, the Christ, the one in the Spirit. So again, even though we would appear to come to you to bring you a knowledge, when we rend the veils again of knowledge, there's a knowledge that puffeth up, but then there's a knowledge by the Spirit of God. And the Spirit knowledge, when it comes to you, you can't get puffed up with it because you come by the Spirit and you know it wasn't by the intellectual mind. The thing is I, with all of my efforts and all of my activity, we could say, to try to bring you some kind of an understanding, I cannot do that. It has to come by the Spirit. Jesus said to Peter, he said, the Spirit had revealed this to you. This wasn't by man. I could make an effort as a teacher or a preacher or whatever, but it's still got to be granted to you by the Spirit. Pray that God would grant unto you the Spirit of revelation. I learned many years ago, brothers and sisters, that no matter how hard I would try to differentiate and break things down and to teach, then I would be speaking about the subject that I took so much time in, maybe weeks or months later, or just go over and touch on it just for a brief second, use it to build another thought on. And somebody would come to me and say, man, Brother Rob, when you said that, man, it was like all of a sudden the Spirit of God just quickened that thing to me, man, and I saw that. And seeing me as a teacher think, well, my, with all of my efforts teaching on that and elaborating on that so many weeks or so many months ago, I really did that, but here it is. But see, that's the way the things of God come. I can remember sitting under Brother Pike and he'd be saying things and I'd be hearing it and he'd say it again and again and again. You know, as he was teaching, he'd say it again and again and again. I'd come to church, I'd hear again and again and again. I'm thinking, well, I'm getting a knowledge of this. I'm understanding what he's saying. I'm perceiving what he's saying. But then one day he'd be speaking on something else and pow, it would come quickened to me. Something that he just didn't hardly speak about at that time, it was quickened. And then the next time he spoke about it, then I'd think, wow, I'm glad he kept on saying that. You know, because see, I perceived it maybe in the second heaven. Maybe I perceived it in the soul realm. Maybe I perceived it in the physical or blood life realm. Or maybe I perceived it in the natural dimension. Think, well, yeah, I see that. I understand that. But then when it was quickened to me by the Spirit, it was totally different. Totally 100% different than what I thought I saw. So when those things happen to you, this is why I say when the knowledge from God comes, it doesn't puff you up. Because the thing is that it comes by the Spirit. It's the knowledge of the intellectual mind and the knowledge of man of through carnality, of climbing up another way, that puffs a man up. This brings a haughtiness, an arrogance. And this is not how we win souls. You know, we don't never However, when you come to the things of God and to the thing, you don't ever look down on people. I know that I preach sometimes seems like hard against them, but you know, I'm dealing with spirits, brothers and sisters, where they're in a wretched, no good dog doctrine, but that don't make them a no good dog. You know what I'm saying? They might be like the example Brother Pike used to use. He said, you know, like the little eaglet, that the little egg was put over there in a chicken pen and it hatched up under there and it's walking around with the other little chicklets or whatever out there eating around in the barnyard and stuff. And one day the mama eagle flies over and screams out and it says, wow. And it looks up and says, wait a minute, I'm relative to that. And it takes them big wings and breaks the gravity and goes. And see, there's people that's sitting out there in those denominational realms and they're sitting in doctrines of devils and false doctrine. And one day they hear something. One day they hear something that's quickened to them. They think, whoa, man, I'm really not relative to this whatsoever at all. This isn't what I am. And they find themselves being caught away and taken out of that very thing. So now, brothers and sisters, as we find many things written down in here, I could take and expound on a lot of these things if the Lord would allow. But then yet, trying to find just the thoughts of the Lord or the mind of the Lord, Brother Pike exhorted me. He said the fall of one of the ministers. He said he tried to go line upon line and write down through the book of Revelations and do a teaching. He said it destroyed the ministry there that was happening in that place. And I've done some where I've gone over and maybe touched on a few things and maybe pulled a few scriptures and spoke, but it has to be by the Spirit of God, or otherwise it'll go to the intellect and it'll go to that thing that'll absolutely devour you. Now the thing is this has to be discerned by the Spirit of God. It has to be discerned. This trumpet that this brother heard right here is the same trumpet. Now I know that there's many trumpets that it's listed down in the Word, but when we think of a trumpet, we think of a sound. We think of a trumpet that sounded to go to battle. We think another one to recede back from that battle. We find that the Bible said there's a trumpet that doesn't give a distinct sound. So when he hears this voice as a trumpet, we know that this is the same spirit. When we talk about the seven spirits of God there, we know that it's the same voice, brothers and sisters, that some of these church age messengers. See, people are waiting for this archangel to sound and this great trumpet blow for what we say this catching away. And they're putting this off into some future thing. But brothers and sisters, here's a man that heard the trumpet and he found himself in the Spirit on the Lord's Day. Amen. Now the thing is when you get into the Spirit on the Lord's Day is when we find that there is a finishing or a completion or a doing away with what we're going to say dispensations in a chronological order, because you're in the Spirit and it's the one eternal day of the Lord. And what happens is when people get into the Spirit realm or start thinking of the Spirit realm, they're trying to again put it into a dispensation or they're trying to put it into a timeline and different things. And this is why they cannot understand the things of God and why they don't know God. And the only way you'll know God is by the Spirit. Amen. And you'll have to have the experience of coming through that door that has been prepared and opened up for you to enter in. But you want to enter in pure and righteous and holy. And the only way that you're going to do that is by bringing it, as we read in the scriptures the other day, is presenting your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto the Lord, and your soul. The Bible said, holy your body, soul, and spirit. Now, as I was teaching on this the other day, I'm saying that many times the churches get into error and they teach, well, it's just a spiritual work. Now, this is the thing is you say, well, you know, Brother Rob, you brought us to a revelation that ye that are born of God cannot sin. I brought you to a revelation of the scriptures, and you have to bring it to a revelation, brothers and sisters, out of this natural realm or a letter of a law, and you got to bring it into a manifestation. Now, again, when we get into the transformation realm, when we get into the thoughts in this second heavenly perspective, this warfare realm, this is the door. It had to open up into there to get into the Spirit. Or you could say, well, maybe the door's at the Spirit, and that door's opened up in the Spirit that you could leave from the physical realm or the blood realm into that door that's open. But you see, there's a door in both places, brothers and sisters. Because let me tell you, the people that are lost and the people that are out here in this world that don't know the Lord Jesus Christ, they're walking just as those ones who was in Egypt. And they're in darkness, and they're in bondage, and they're bound up. Now, the thing is there was a door that opened up out of Egypt, and Moses come with that door and he opened it up to bring them into the second heavenly perspective of keeping our thoughts in order, which we'd say he took them into a wilderness. There was a place prepared for the woman, the Bible says. There was a red dragon waiting there to devour that child just as soon as it was born. This has to do with the grace. The child was caught up to the throne immediately when it was born. Now the thing is, when we look at this again, we're going to differentiate it and break it down. We found that when Jesus was born, that this Herod was seeking to devour and was putting all these children to death. death. And they were taking him and putting all these firstborn children, they were putting them to death. So there was a place prepared, and he went off to Egypt. Why did they go to Egypt? You see, we say, well, it's another country, it's the closest one by that they can go into. But it's still a very important allegory. There was a place. Now see, sometimes you have to reverse things to see, but he went over there to Egypt to get away from there. There was a place prepared. Now the thing is after this threat of Herod came to pass, he came back over, he presented himself. Later, we know the story, when we keep it in an order, about 12 years old, having to do with the bar mitzvah, we know that he came in, and when it was over about 30, when he came and started walking or partaking up in his ministry. But these are shadows again that we're looking over into. I know the Old Testament is shadows, but if you want to really get down to it, I've said this and you can dispute it. It doesn't matter. I may be wrong. I may be right. I'm not saying thus saith the Lord on it, but I believe that the Matthew, Mark, and Luke, and John are the finishing of the book of shadows in the Old Testament, even though that he's bringing in, you get over the book of Acts, as he's bringing in the New Testament. It took the crucifixion and the blood and everything to bring in that church realm and that church age, even though there's a transformation there and a changing over there. So the thing is that that's why I would say it's showing the shadow of the things to come. You say, well, Jesus is the object of worship. He is no longer a shadow. And I say, yea and amen. I agree with that. But the thing is the object is what casts forth those shadows. So there is a sense of his life showing that transformation, but it's a changing over right there, because we're not to know him the way that he walked the earth. So if it was the finishing and the completion as what we would say the Son of God, then what we would have to say is that why would we not know him after that image no more? He came in the image of darkness, the image of sin, the image of iniquity. He came in as the beastly image. He came as the serpent image. He took it to the cross of Calvary and was smitten. And then when he was resurrected and come forth out as a new creature, it was a change. It was different. The thing is that there was no corruption in him. And even though the Bible said he suffered him not to see corruption, the thing is there was no sin in him. But he took the sin, the corruption and everything and the iniquities onto himself and was crucified on the cross of Calvary. Okay, so we're speaking about a door and we're talking about the spirit life and the spirit world. Now we were speaking the other night and we stopped, and maybe we could pick up some thought there to fit some of this together in with that. Now through the other night we come up to a perspective, we kind of transformated right on around, and we were speaking of a physical realm, and we were speaking into the perspective of speaking about the earth. Now the thing is when we look over at the earth, and we know that we saw in the beginning it was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the earth. Now we're looking at it allegorically speaking, and we say darkness upon the face of the earth. And I'll say there that this is where a lot of disputes are on the matter and the things and the rocks they find, and they do their testing and this, that, and they say, oh, this is millions of years old. Well, they're right. The Bible's not teaching us that it was created 6,000 years ago. 6,000 years ago, it was dark and it was without form and it was void. And the Spirit of God moved over this and started bringing the creation, creating things, changing it. Has to do with your earthen vessel when you were birthed and took your first breath, no matter how precious and beautiful, no matter how much grandmas and grandpas oohed over you and everybody was so excited and everything like that. You were in darkness and without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of your deep. You absolutely are the image of corruption and sin. No matter how little and precious you ever been, there's a sentence of death, and the breath of life is temporal life, and that's all that you had there. Now the thing is that when we start again looking at this, trying to understand the mind of God and the revelation of the Lord. So when we look over here at this earth and we find that the Spirit of God moved over the waters and started speaking light. You see, brothers and sisters, light has to do with understanding. And when he moved over the face of the deep, he started bringing an understanding and light and started bringing a creation. Well, in this creation, we come forth a natural creation, and he puts mankind upon this creation and had a plan from the very beginning. So then when we come over and we go into this next dimension and we say blood life, we find the same thing, the little child in darkness and void of understanding, but it takes the Spirit of God. And when the Spirit of God moves over the face of your deep and it starts speaking light, this is understanding, this is revelation, and it starts transforming you and changing you as you see this earth going through the transformation and the different things coming about. You see, he started calling forth, said the seed which is in. When he talked about the seed in there, said the seed that is in the earth, he called it forth to bring forth fruit. Now you see, if we go into the revelation that we find out that there is a seed that remaineth in you that keeps you from sin. And this is a seed through the predestination and the election of the Lord. If you are predestined in Christ, there is a seed that remaineth within you, and it's going to be called forth. If you are not predestined in Christ, the seed isn't there and it will not come forth, and you'll produce what you are far up. Looking at the two different perspectives of this, for lack of expression, when we're looking at both realms, we could say, or both ends of this thing, and we find you in the second heaven in the wilderness. Now again, looking back to the allegories, when they came out of Egypt, and they say this was, you know, showing God's elect. These were the Israelite people. These were God's elect. And here they come. Praise God. Hallelujah. They saw the salvation of the Lord. Amen. Here there's this Red Sea, and this Red Sea is parted for them, and they saw the salvation of the Lord. That all of these Egyptian horse and riders were drowned right there, and you know, their adversary was done away with. Praise God, we saw the hand of the Lord. And then they're about to die of starvation and of thirst out in the desert, and boy, we find the salvation of God bringing forth water from the rock. You know, praise God, hallelujah. Man, we're God's elect. Amen, hallelujah. Boy, this man is coming down out of heaven. Praise God, we're God's elect. You see, but if we would think about all them that came out over there into this grace, into this wilderness, into this second heaven, and then we find out that all of them, the multitudes of millions that came out, that only two of them crossed into Jordan, crossed the Jordan into Canaan land, of the elders above 20 years old. All of the rest were swallowed up in the cares of the world. The earth opened up and swallowed them up. Now the thing is it's the same way. Now we switch and say, well, how do we understand that dimension, Brother Rob? You see, you come to an understanding by the grace of God. You see, there was a place, brothers and sisters, you were bound in Egypt, and you were bound in your intellectual mind, and bound in carnality, bound in your first birth. You were birthed, and even though that you were introduced to religion, all these kind of things like that, this is what you were bound into, but you come to hear about Jesus Christ, and you come out of this bondage, and you find yourself in this wilderness. You come through baptism and you got baptized, and so you come through the blood of Jesus. All everybody's come through the blood, brothers and sisters. Don't you know that? He said it was his will not for any to perish, not even one. And in this dispensation of grace, the whole world is under that blood. Everybody, brothers and sisters. That's why they could live like they want and walk like they want. This is why they could have cigarettes hanging out their mouth and snorting coke and drinking beer and be whoremongers and idolaters and fornicators. And they say, oh man, praise God, hallelujah. God is so awesome. Man, he's a God of love. He saved me, hallelujah, amen. I said the sinner's prayer. I was christened over there in that church. I was sprinkled. I was baptized. You know, and they're all come under the same blood. But there's more to it than that. Well, you say, oh, wait a minute, Brother Rob. You can't say there's more to it than that. I'm telling you, we're looking at the allegories. There's more to it, brothers and sisters, than that. Oh, but I spoke in tongues. I danced in the spirit, you know. Man, I've received healing. You know, I had bad eyes. I got my eyes opened up. I did this. I done that, and man, I had a bad leg. You know, praise God. That's all in that grace. Doesn't mean anything. How about the ones that Jesus himself healed? How many of them come back and praised him? When we even think of the lepers, how many, brothers and sisters? You see, healing doesn't mean you're saved. Just because you receive healing, just because you prophesize, don't mean you have salvation. I prophesied in your name, Lord. I cast out devils in your name. He said, I never knew you, you worker of iniquity. Depart from me. So the thing is, brothers and sisters, that we find this a door that was opened into the second heaven. Now, we were speaking the other evening about the water world, and we thought about it coming to an end and the flood out and different things. If the Lord would allow, I could speak about some things, even a beast that was relative to that water world, and this, it had to be done away with in that flood. And you say, well, that was man. Well, see, man came on over on a boat, and it was a place prepared for man to come over. Salvation showed in that ark and showing Noah. But you see, there had to be something that was done away with in the first dimension in that water world, because there was something done away with at the closing out and the ending of the second. And then when we step into the third, we step into that eternal day of the Lord. There's no end to it and no beginning to it. Now the thing is all these others are projecting off from that we can understand and comprehend by looking at the things that do appear, that we can understand the invisible things of the spirit world, because the things that we're speaking about and exhorting you into is invisible, and no man sees them. And the only way a man will see them is by being crucified with Christ and no longer living, and letting Jesus Christ now live, and then you have eyes to see and ears to hear. Amen. So we find that when we go back looking again at these shadows and the allegories of this, we find that these come out and they say, man, praise God, look at the salvation of our God. Man, he feeds us with manna raining down from heaven. We walk out here in this wilderness for 40 years and our clothes don't wear out, our shoes don't wear out. And we find all these wonderful, wonderful things. But then yet, the murmuring and the complaining and the things that took place after the earth opened up and swallowed them up. And it swallowed them up and they didn't make it. And Joshua and Caleb, out of all the elders above 20 years old, are the only two that made it in. Now the thing is we look over there to the allegories of that, and then we find that here you are. And you find this door open and you come into the second heaven, the soul realm. You remember me ministering message? I touch on this every sovereign about a soulless religion. Now when we get into a soul realm, there is light there, but it's a lesser light. When you get into the illumination of the soul realm and you've been in darkness, you're going to see light. You're going to see healings. You're going to see miracles. You're going to find understanding. You know, they're giving these men in that second heavenly realm, they're giving them degrees and doctrines and making them doctors of divinity or theology. You see, this has to do with light, brothers and sisters, but it has to do with the lesser light. Now, the thing is we brought this out not many days back, that light and darkness cannot dwell in the same place. Bitter water and sweet water cannot be in the same place. It's either a sweet well or a bitter well, or it's either light or it's either darkness. Now see, that only can apply in the spirit dimension. Because brothers and sisters, when you get into the purity of the spirit, it cannot be defiled because it's light. It can't be defiled by darkness because light eradicates darkness. And there is no darkness there. You understand that? And it's the sweetness of the Lord there. And the bitter things and all those things cannot get there. They cannot get there. They've been taken and put out. When Satan climbed up the other way, he was cast out of there. So it's pure. But when we get into the soul realm, in the second realm, brothers and sisters, this is where these two powers come together, and there's a travail and a warfare, and it has to do with the dispute for the woman. So when we say that, a dispute for the woman, and we break it down in the second heaven or the physical realm or the soul realm, and we find this outer garment of iniquity showing the feminine, and it must be married unto the Lord Jesus Christ, then we're going to get the heir of the relationship. And that is the joint heirs, where we come into oneness with him, bone of his bone and flesh of his flesh. But Paul said he showed you a mystery, that when the man and woman marry, they become one in the flesh. You see, the product, brothers and sisters, that comes from them becoming one in the flesh brings a birthing in the spirit, and they become one in the spirit. But when you go over into the other dimension of it, it's one in the flesh. I'm going to tell you something here, and this is where it discounts what the churches are teaching. They all just say, man, the grace of God, the love of God, thank God for Jesus, man, he's love, he's mercy, thus and us. But what happens is there's got to become one in the flesh. Now, when this flesh becomes one in the second heaven, it's showing the marriage, it shows a twain, and it shows two, the man and the woman. The man showing the inner quickening of the Spirit of God, Christ, marrying unto the woman, showing that outer garment of iniquity, the weaker one, and it shows that. And now we go into another thought where it says that the elder will submit to the younger. And when you look at it in that perspective, you say, well, you know, I was born, you know, in the world, this and that. And then all of a sudden I come along, I'll be born again. And you say that would show the younger, even though it's the Ancient of Days, but it would show the younger. And that first part of you, or that elder part of you, has got to submit to the younger and say, okay, hey, I know I'm a man. I know I make my own decisions. I know I'm a big boy now. I do what I want, go do this and I do that and I go where I please. But that man's got to shut his mouth and he's got to submit to the younger and say, here I am, Lord, you're my master, my king, I am your servant, here I am at your will. It doesn't matter what my desire is, it doesn't matter what I want to do, it doesn't matter where I want to live, it doesn't matter what I want to say, here I am. Now you see, when we get into the realms of a marriage, this is what the woman should do is unto the husband, is give up her identity and surrender and submit to him. Then it brings a headship in the house, and it brings an understanding of a revelation, and it brings peace and love, and it brings tranquility into a home. The thing is this, the only way that I'll have a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ is the same way. I'm the woman, we say it's a bride perspective, and I submit under that, and I surrender, and I've studied to be quiet, and I listen to the still small voice, and I say, hey, this is it. It's your way, not my way. Amen. Because man's ways are absolutely contrary to God's ways. Amen. And God's ways are not man's ways. So we got to get out of our intellectual thinking, the way we perceive it, the way we think it is. That's ideology. Well, I've got an idea. I think this is the way God is. Everybody's got this God made up the way they think he is. It's their idea. Well, I think my idea of God is he's just mercy and love, and he's standing up there with his arms folded and just watching me in the frolics of the world, and you know, I'm living like a dog and rolling around in the mire, and I stink like vomit and pig mess and all that, you know, and he's just standing there waiting for me that he could just wash me up and cleanse me and bring me in, you know. Isn't that ignorant? I mean, the way people think. And you say, well, Brother Rob, you can't say there's not a little bit of truth to that. I can guarantee there is a little bit of truth to the fact of his mercy and his His grace and His long suffering and all of those things, and yes, and cleansing you. But when you just keep on running back and running back and running back, you know, if you had a little dog and you got him all cleaned up, put the little ribbon around it, and you let him outside the first time, boy, and he'll go find something old filthy, nasty thing out in the yard, and he'll go roll in it and do that. Well, you know, pretty soon, if the dog keeps doing that, pretty soon you say, man, you just stay out there in the yard. That's where you belong. You know what I'm saying? And the thing is I know y'all have seen that at different times. So, you know, what are you of? So now let's keep going on in thought here for a moment, if the Lord allows us to. When we come into this second realm, we find that there is an intermingling of light and darkness. You know, when it's noontime and the sun is out bright, the darkness is eradicated. You can't say there's darkness outside. Even though you'll see some shadows, but there's no darkness out there. But boy, when that sun comes around and sets, you still got some light, and you go through a twilight realm, and then it'll transformate on over into darkness. Now, when that moon comes out, showing a lesser light, showing the soul realm, and it reflects from the sun, which would show a spiritual, eternal shining of the understandings and the mind of God. But in this moon realm, or the soul realm, when this thing comes around, it reflects that light. That's what Jesus did. He reflected everything back to the Spirit, everything back to the Father. He did everything that way. That's the way He done it, reflecting that light. But that reflection, brothers and sisters, the image of that reflection was smitten and done away with. Now the thing is that when we go back over to the first, there was a Shekinah glory of God, and it was a covering to come over them. Then through the transformation of the things coming around, brothers and sisters, we found that in the second, it's of both realms. We find that the rain comes on as an outward thing to people. There's a former and a latter day rain. And there's a rain that comes on the people walking in the dispensation of grace. The whole world's in that. And the rain of God, man, God is so good. He's so loved. An individual called me yesterday, said, man, brother, I got a question for you. And he said, you know, what about these people driving these brand new cars and living in these brand new homes and all this, and they live like dogs and devils? He said, man, isn't that the grace of God? And isn't God blessing them with that? And they have a prayer life. They said, well, I prayed for God to do this and prayed to God to do that. And he said, but I heard you say that God's ears are closed to the cry of the wicked. And I said, yeah, it is. And he said, well, isn't that the blessings of God? And I said, yes, it is. And he said, well, that means God heard their prayer. And I said, no. I said, they're underneath the blood and they're being partakers of the benefits of the rain of God. You see, brothers and sisters, there's a rain that's come down on this whole world, and they're all walking in it. They're all walking in the blessings of God. Some wealthy, some are poor, whatever it is, it's all walking in the blessings of God. But on the other hand, in this second realm, brothers and sisters, as Brother Pike even had a vision, he said he was walking and he knew that the Spirit of God was right there beside him. And he said, man, he just felt that he wanted to look at him real fast. And he said that he knew that when he would look at him, that he would likely, because it was a shadow, if you go back into the Old Testament, or a cloud that led them by day, having to do with this. And the cloud led them by day, but the pillar of fire by night. And he said, man, when he, just as quick as he would turn to look at it, it would go right into him. You see, and this is the different dimension, I could say. Again, for lack of expression, it's a changeover. And this is the difference of being full of the Holy Ghost. It's the difference of being filled with the Holy Ghost and receiving the outpouring of the Holy Ghost. Because the Bible said, I will pour out my Spirit upon all flesh. All flesh is corrupt. All flesh is equal in that perspective. He said He'll pour it out upon all flesh. Now the thing is the pouring out of that Spirit, we're going to have to transformate and let it come from within and let it be rivers of living water going forth. But when this rivers of living water starts coming forth, brothers and sisters, it is from the throne of God. Now the thing is when people are partaking of the rain, it comes from the throne of God. It's the abundance of the rain and the water and the things of God. But when it's coming from within, brothers and sisters, it's different. When we think of the former and the latter day rain, when it prophesied in Joel and talked about in this end time that it would pour out His Spirit upon all flesh, and the sons and daughters would prophesy, talks about dreams and visions and different things. It's also mentioned over in the New Testament. As we go back into the allegory realm and we're thinking of these ones that came out of Egypt, they say, man, praise God, hallelujah, man. You know, I've been delivered from bondage, man. I was here, you know, under the bondage in Egypt, man. They were waking me up every day, telling me to make more bricks and beat me with their whips. And if we didn't do this, they were killing our children. Do that, man. Praise God, my salvation has come. I've been delivered. Well, see, they were taken out of there and they were delivered from there. But then yet again, out there, the earth opened up and swallowed them away. Now we're going to bring the present day truth of that into a revelation of what's happening in America. You know, people say, man, I live in a blessed country, man. Man, here I am, you know, I've heard the message of Jesus Christ. You know, some call it the Western religion. There's a study called the Western Orthodox. You know, and this is what we're considered when we get into our Christianity. But I'll tell you what, it's sad to think that if people are looking to America to find the understanding of the good news of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, it is a sad deal with the things that's going on in our country, with the change, when we're not to be given to change. And when you see such a change, when there is no change in the spirit, brothers and sisters, we're supposed to be transformating to things better. When we're taken and we look at it in that second realm, it's supposed to be graining light. The Bible talks about it, that in time a sevenfold light, we're talking about the seven spirits of God. And as we transformate from time, this light gets brighter and brighter and brighter and brighter. So why could we say that we could look back in the past 20, 30 years and we see this gross darkness that has infiltrated the churches and their understandings? The things that I was required of me to become a member of a church. Man, there's not even thought of in the churches now. There's no discipline. There's no chastening. There's no reproof. There's no rebuke in the churches. A preacher rebukes openly and rebukes somebody and they think, oh man, he had no business doing that. Vote another one in. Ah man, he offended my cousin. He offended this and that. Somebody came to me not long ago about this individual coming to church. Well, they're offended when they come over and hear you preach. I said, when people are shacked up and people live together and they live like dogs and beasts, they're going to be offended when they come to church, because I'm called to preach against sin. The Bible said, you know that they're called of God because you turn people away from sin. So, you know, I'm going to preach the gospel. You know what I'm saying? I can't do any other thing. Otherwise, I may have their blood on my hands. So that's love, brothers and sisters. So again, when we look over here, we find these that come out into wilderness, rejoicing, eating of the manna, drinking of the water that come forth, and being partakers of the blessings of God. And we find that there's people in the world, and they come in and say, man, praise God, God is good. Amen. Hallelujah. You know, and they're partaking of the blessings of God. They pray, and it appears that God's answering their prayers, and everything's going along just fine. But then yet, brothers and sisters, there was some that crossed into Canaan land. Now we're talking about a door open in the third heaven. All of your miracles, all of the rain, all of the goosebumps, all the speaking in tongues, all the knowledge, all the wisdom, all the prophecies, all those things, brothers and sisters, are taking place there in the second heaven to give you guidance, to give you a light and a route to show you the way to get into Canaan land. But you see, it doesn't matter what you partook of all them. The Bible said it's you endure to the end. So you see, brothers and sisters, what does it matter that you found yourself out in the wilderness when the ground opened up and swallowed you up? You see, brothers, we have to continually to press our way in. And when we talk about these seven spirits of God, there is something that is required of you to come to a greater light, a greater understanding, as we're pressing into the mind of God. You see, brothers and sisters, we could read the exhortation back in the previous chapter. And it was speaking to the Laodicean Day Church. It said, you know, hey, I'd rather you be cold or hot as lukewarm. And it talks about turning back to the first love, another exhortation. You know, sometimes you come in and man, you find the Spirit of God that you never found before. And you find the Spirit of the Lord moving in your life. And you think, man, this is so awesome. And you get on fire for God. You want to give your life. You want to give your time. You want to get on board with the ministry of God and push and press and help, and all of a sudden you start backing away from that and you just get light-hearted, you know, oh praise God, you know, yeah, somebody else will do it, this and that. You've turned away from your first love, and he's exhorting you back to that. Now, is that transformating in the mind of God when we just, you know, oh thank God for Jesus, hallelujah. Even in a little exhortation I wrote in that track, I said, you know, I've stood face to face with people and they'll look you right in the eye and say, man, don't tell me I'm not a Christian. You know, they're shacked up. Don't tell me I'm not a Christian. They're using dope and drugs. Don't tell me I'm not a Christian. You know, and they'll look and contest, and they'll take biblical truths from the Word of God, but they're taking them out of order. Brothers and sisters, what's taking place in that second heaven is a transformation, is a change realm. You see, you're commanded to change. But the Bible says, Brother Rob, you that are given to change, woe unto you. Brothers and sisters, that's going back the other way. You see, we're transformating in mind. We're transformating in light. We're transformating in understanding. And the thing is I wasn't accountable to the things when I gave my life to Jesus Christ some 20 years ago. I wasn't accountable to what I'm accountable for today. And if I go back to the doctrines and the things that I was in 20 years ago, I'd lose my soul. Do you understand that? Because I'd be given to change. I would lose my soul, brothers and sisters, even though I found God there. Even though I found God and got born again and saved through the understandings that I was received in those doctrines. But if I went back to those doctrines, I would lose my soul. There's not a doubt about it. I'm not speculating on that. I know for sure because there's errors in those doctrines. And it wasn't imputed to me when I was in those doctrines as sin because I had no knowledge of it and sin wasn't imputed to me. But now I have a knowledge, and if I just wanted the fellowship or a place to fellowship or a church and I'm going to go back into those things, it would be imputed to me as sin, and that is the sting of death, brothers and sisters, and I'd be cast out. I'm just telling you the word of God in the scriptures. We're talking about this physical realm. We're talking about the blood realm, and we're talking about there was a door open there and you've entered into that, and if you sit under the ministry and the preaching, you've entered into that realm, which all the world truly has, but some of them haven't seen it and they're still in darkness, but some have entered into that lesser light or the transformation realm. Now what's supposed to be taking place in that transformation realm, instead of, that's where the grace is at, that's where the blood is at, and instead of taking the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ to lasciviousness, which the Bible says, it said don't take the grace for that. It said don't take it to the occasion, to the flesh. That's not what it's there for. It's to take it to the occasion, brothers and sisters, to grow in the grace and knowledge of God. Now, knowledge of God has to do with light. And this light eradicates darkness. When darkness is being eradicated, it is showing a transformation from darkness into light. Now, the thing is as this darkness of your human reasoning, of your intellectual mind, of your first birth, and from your religious ways. See, you're no different than what Paul was. He walked in religion. He said, man, I was in the church daily. You know, if you want to talk about the way of a Pharisee, he said, man, I was the Pharisee of Pharisees. I was faithful to church. I was there every single day. I done what they said, and I was committed. And see, there's people in the world that are committed like that, brothers and sisters. They're committed unto the Lord. And I mean, they're committed, they're faithful in church, this and that. But you see, if they would get their eyes opened up and they would come through this transformation of thought and they would start seeing that the darkness that they're truly in and the bondage thereof, it's the letter of the law that killeth. And there's many of them that are in bondage. You say, oh, but they talk about the same Jesus that you and I serve. Well, don't you know that Paul was talking about the same God? They were talking about the Messiah coming. They were talking about Jesus, but when he come, he said, when the prophets came, you done as you would to them, had their way with them. John the Baptist came, you know, he didn't drink with you, he didn't eat with you, and you had your way with him, you put him to death. I come, I drink and eat with you, and you still want to put me to death. You know what he's saying is, it don't matter. That's the nature of them, and that's what they're going to do. So when we start looking and understanding, brothers and sisters, and you find that you've come into a second heaven perspective, and you come through that door that was opened by the works of Jesus Christ, and it was blood there. But then we find here that there's another door that was opened up, and he would come through that door and he was in the Spirit on the Lord's day. And you say, well, that was the door that Jesus opened. I say, yea and amen. But he fulfilled all, brothers and sisters. The first man, Adam, there was a fulfillment there. He made a sacrifice. He knew that when he come back and partook of that tree and partook of that thing, and he done it for the woman's sake that she could have salvation and be saved. You understand that? And he did that, and he found himself being cast out and being come by the sweat of his brow. And he found himself in a travail when he was walking an easy street, we might say, before that happened. And then we find that Moses doing the same thing for his people, showing another allegory. And when we think of the Melchizedek priesthood and things, we think of Moses, and we think of how he came, and we say after the order of that very same thing, and we find then our same in our own life. And brothers and sisters, the life of Christianity is a sacrifice. And when you're looking continually for your liberties in the flesh, you have absolutely missed the Lord, because there's sacrifices of your fleshly lifestyle, your fleshly actions, your fleshly ways, your fleshly talk, and all that there is, that has got to be given unto the Lord and crucified and buried in the sea of forgetfulness. And when you keep resurrecting it and bringing it up, you're bringing darkness up. When you keep savoring the things of the flesh and thinking your fleshly ways and talking about how good God is and how much grace he's got, then you've trampled the blood of him under your feet and into lasciviousness, and you did not take an occasion to the things of the grace. You didn't take it to the occasion to the things of God or to transformate in the Spirit. You turned it to lasciviousness and trampled the blood of Jesus under feet, and you'll find yourself cast out because you don't have the wedding garment on. The wedding garment, as we found those 24 elders there, was pure and it was white, brothers and sisters, without spot, wrinkle, and blemish. The difficulty of teaching the things that I'm teaching, if you get them out of perspective or out of dimension, you see, people can say, well, Brother Rob, you teach works of salvation. No, I preach salvation produces works. It produces fruit. Fruit is shown by works. Paul said, I'll show you my faith by works. You cannot have salvation except by faith. You cannot see nor know God except by faith. So the thing is when you have faith and you know God, then there's going to be works, and the works is fruit. It's going to bring forth a fruit. So the thing is I say, what is the fruit upon your tree? The Bible said a tree is known by the fruit that it bears. I'm not going to say, brothers and sisters, that if you have the fruit on your tree, that it makes you the right kind of tree. But it usually does. I think there's a deceiver going out there and clipping apples with them little clothesline things, clipping apples on the wrong kind of tree. And it would deceive the very elect if it were possible, but it's not possible. Amen. So I've made statements as such in times past. I've said you could have works without faith, but you cannot have faith without works. Okay, so the thing is, brothers and sisters, is that sometimes through will worship, people will will a performance. Many times it starts out that way, and then it becomes a conviction and an action of life. But sometimes people just walk in will worship, but they don't do that for very long as a rule. They'll fall away. They can't do it. They'll usually fall away. They'll come in. You all seen it. People come in. Man, we had an awesome camp meet. Man, the power of God moved. They felt the goosebumps. Their hair stood up on their head. They cried. They wept. They spoke in tongues. They danced this and that. And they come into will of performance for a season. Oh, yeah, they live right. They rebuke everybody that's around, finding fault with everybody. Man, this one ain't living right. This one ain't doing right. And pretty soon, they're right back out there on their face. It scares me when people are critical like that, because they're always in the on their face, you know, and they'll end up being knocked down one way or another, and Lord will get them down to humble them down just a little bit. You see, we don't judge things that way. See, I teach judgment. Judgment begins in the house of God, and ye that are spiritual judge all things, but that's not the way we judge. When you judge that way, you're judging by the matter of the carnal mind or the fleshly mind, and when you judge that way, God will bring you down in that very thing that you are judging in. So, this is why the scriptures, we have to differentiate them and rend the veil. Let me keep going here for a moment. I'll look for a place possibly to close, but I'm trying to, as the Lord would allow, to maybe bring some thoughts forth. So when we look into this second heaven, we find light and we find darkness. We find bitter and we find sweet there. Peter took of that a little bit when Jesus said, this was not revealed to you by flesh and blood, but this was revealed to you from the spirit world or by the Father. And then just a few minutes later, he said, get ye behind me, Satan, you savor the things that be of the flesh. You see, that was how quick, because there was a second realm there that the brother was in. And you say, well, it really wasn't there until Jesus was crucified. But then yet we found that the Holy Ghost made the child leap in the womb. We found it was the overshadowing of the Holy Ghost that brought forth the conception in Mary. So we find that, brothers and sisters, that we find that we are looking for a chronological order to understand God. But we find that Jesus, or when it goes into the scriptures, it said that he was there before or in the beginning, and all things were created by him and through him, and not anything at all was created visible or invisible except by him. So again, as we spoke on Friday night, that somewhat takes you out of your chronological thoughts when you start thinking, well, I know he had a beginning over here in Bethlehem. You see, we have to think differently. So when we good again, looking at this second realm, and I would exhort you, the Bible said to consider yourself, see if ye be in the faith. Now the thing is I could exhort you and say, well, what door have you entered through? Are you just dancing around in the blood realm, being partakers of the glory of God, being partakers of the reign of God and the power of God? Are you just being partakers of that? But one day, when this blood comes off the mercy seat, it said that there, at that particular time, there will be a revealing of who you are and what you've always been. And then you see the dispensation of grace is no longer there. And these ones that are crying, oh, God is love. Oh, Jesus is love. He's mercy. Oh, he wouldn't put someone in hell. Well, see, but the Bible said hell wasn't made for man. It didn't say that it was made for man. It said that it was made for these fallen spirits. It wasn't made for man. But when man marries unto that spirit, then he goes with the destiny of that spirit. You see, this is the only way that you can have the eternal life, or your destination. When we say predestination, your destiny with Christ is only going to come by being married unto him and becoming one with him, because you and that spirit become one, and then you have eternal life with him, because he's the Prince of Life. There's no other way except by him. He is that door. He is that way, and there's no other way except by him. Now, the thing is that Satan, when we look at it in that way, you see there's a dispute for that body, a dispute for the woman, and Satan is offering you everything. He's a liar. He's the father of all lies. You know, what did he tell Eve back there? He said, oh man, it's okay. Hey, praise God, it's all right. Man, if you would partake of this, man, you become as God. You know, oh, you won't die. You see, now that's Satan. Now the thing is he's going to be telling you the same thing in your religious, oh, man, it's okay, praise God, Jesus loves us. He died for us all, man, let's just party a little bit. Ah, man, the church is just a little bit too rigid, you know, man. They take these things a little bit too serious, you know. Hey, man, God's good. You know, God was a man too. You know, he knows that we've got shortcomings and problems, and, you know, and he knows that nobody's perfect and we can't do this. That's the devil talking. Are you listening to me? That's the devil talking. And he's going to come to you and he's, oh, it's okay, praise God. It's all right. You know, oh, you're weak. The Bible said, let the weak say that they're strong. You know, I'm strong. What kind of strength do I have? I got the strength to overcome evil. I got the strength to overcome all of those things. You see, brothers and sisters? So the thing is, we see the same thing that took place in that first dimension over there with a tree of knowledge of good and evil and a tree of life, and it's happening in the second. That door that's opened there and you come into the second, you're either going to partake of the tree of knowledge, the things of this world. You see, the education system shows that. You know, oh, come take of this and eat of the boy if you do this. And man, there's people reading all of the Eastern philosophies. They're reading over here and they know about Buddha and they know about this one and know about that. And reading all this thing, and they're so messed up and goofed up, they don't know what is what. Let me tell you something. There's not 50 doors presented out there to go through to get into the third heaven. There's one door and his name is Jesus. Well, I've got to study some of those other things to know. No, study the original. Study him and then you'll know the counterfeit when it comes along. I've used that as an example. I don't know who told me that. Might have been my buddy Chuck back there. He pretty much knows everything. But he said that when they get people to study for counterfeit money, they don't study counterfeit money. You know, so, well, here's counterfeit money made over here in Germany. Here's counterfeit money made over here, and here's counterfeit money. They don't do that. Well, this is how you recognize it. They don't do that. They study the original. And then when they know the original, what it looks like, then when they go over, they can see the counterfeit. Now, brothers and sisters, the thing is the Antichrist, he will present himself as a light, a lesser light. Now, the thing is when you think of Lucifer, the Bible says the light bearer. See, he's going to come with the light. And when we think of a dispute over the body, and when you would find yourself, whoever you yield your members to is who you are of, is what the Bible says. Now, that's cut and dry. I know I quote that a lot, but that's cut and dry, isn't it? If I yield my members over to the things of the world and the love of the world and the pride of life and the intellectual mind and projecting myself as some great scholar, or it don't matter if we're talking biblically or if we're talking naturally, or some professor, if we're talking mathematics, or if we're talking Bible, it doesn't matter. But we're just going down those realms, you see, and we're giving ourselves to that. You see, that's all darkness. It's all darkness. This is the revelation that Paul came to. He said that all of my learning, he wasn't talking about education of the world. He was talking about his studies of the Bible, a collection of books. You know, it may have been the writings of Moses and all those things. He felt himself very skilled. But he said, I come to know one thing, that all of my learning was his dung. And you think, man, that's a revelation. It was a revelation. Because he'd come to a place that he knew he couldn't depend on what he put in his head. It had to do with the Spirit of God that came within him, that changed him from glory to glory, transformated him from darkness into light. So now the thing is you've got to understand that you were birthed in darkness, that you wasn't some special child birthed into this realm of light. You were birthed into darkness, and it is an obligation and a duty to you to transformate. It is an obligation for you to press your way into the kingdom of God. It is your obligation to war against the members of your own flesh. Sometimes it's easy to war against the members of other people's flesh, but it's got to be against your own flesh. It is your obligation to reveal the son of perdition, because the Bible says that Christ cannot be revealed until the son of perdition is revealed. Now that's going to happen for the Jews, again at the abomination of desolation, but you would find that there's an abomination of desolation in the dimension that we would say now in the second heaven. It's when you take and get all of your Bible learning and all of your understanding and all of your years and all of your tithe and all that, and you put it all up and you present yourself as God in the temple of God. Well, bless God, I do all the things right and I've done this and I've done that, and it's an intellectual thing and you're presenting yourself as God, and that's the abomination of desolation. Brothers and sisters, it don't go that way, and you can't. You got to humble yourself before the Lord and cry upon God and know that you need a God, a Savior, and you need a leader, a Redeemer that is going to lead you and guide you on a daily basis. And the Bible said, take up your cross daily crucify yourself daily, on a daily basis. You need to be putting yourself down and killing him out and crucifying him and being caught up to the throne on a daily basis. Now, the thing is when you find yourself caught up to the throne on a daily basis and killed that man on a daily basis, that means that you have committed your works unto him and that you have yielded your members unto him. You become one with him, bone of his bone and flesh of his flesh. And the thing is when we're looking at it back in that second dimension where we go into the Christ showing the husbandman and the woman the outer garment of the naked with the flesh, and they become into oneness, into unity, and then the seed goes forth and the heir comes forth, and that is masculine. It has to do with the sons of God and the Christ child. Amen. So then it goes back into a oneness. That is what the whole purpose and the whole plan and everything of God is, to do that one very thing. And you're going to become one in. Now, if you go back and look at Mary and you say, well, man, here she is. The Catholics say, well, she's the mother of God, which is there. And they say, well, because God's busy and thus, so I'm going to talk to Mama. You know, and Mama's going to show me a little bit more grace. She's just a little bit more merciful. You know, I'm going to pray to Mama and Mama's going to go to him for me. See, that's an abomination in God. Now, I know the Bible said that she's blessed and that she would be known through all generations. And the thing is, yes, we have great respect, but this Mary had to come to know her own son that she brought forth as her God and her Savior and salvation. And she had to come through him or she would not make it in. You understand that? Now, the thing is, now when you look at you in coming to this overshadow, the Spirit of God came to Mary and said, hey, you know, this is you're going to be conceived and take this child. And this is going to take place with your life. And you're going to say, as the Spirit of God speaks to you, the angel of the Lord, and says that you're going to be, the seed is going to come into you. And it's the seed that you cannot sin, and it is that life. But when that thing comes into you and produces that life, and out steps forth the Christ, you understand that woman had come to knowing that that is the salvation Savior. And this is why you, as the first birth, the elder, has got to submit to the younger. You've got to come in and submit to that Christ. And if you cannot do that, then you will not be numbered into the kingdom of God, and you will not make it through that door that's open into the third heaven. So it is a life of submission. It's a life of sacrifice. It's a life of surrender. Amen. And the thing is the dividends, I might use as expression's sake, are awesome. The reward is absolutely beyond comprehension, beyond anything that you could understand or perceive or think about. It is so great, and all you got to do is offer up this life. That's your reasonable service. Just give your life. That's all you have to do. And that's nothing. You just give it all up and give it to him. Amen. Let's stand together. I appreciate you all. Hope said something. Exhort you and challenge you in thought and encourage you to press your way into the things of God. Amen. Hallelujah. Sing a song or two before we close the service. The altars are open. Remember Brother Roger and Chuck as they travel back today towards Georgia. Thank you, Jesus. Worship him. We won't keep you long. Let's just, brothers, say, let's close our eyes. We're still in service. Be reverent to the Lord. The Lord may be speaking to one's heart today. There might be one here this morning that needs a touch from God. Maybe even salvation from the Lord. Amen. And we need to be reverent. The Lord may be tugging on your heart or one's heart. Thank you, Jesus. Just close your eyes and lift your hands. Do as the song says. Forget about yourself and concentrate on him. And worship him. Thank you, Jesus. Let's just love him and praise him and worship him. I feel an awesome presence of the Lord. The ones that aren't in the altars, I'm going to ask you to join together in one mind and one accord with us. As I exhort you, the service isn't over. You should be in unity in one mind and one accord. There might be one pleading for their soul. There might be an affliction or a sickness that could be unto death. You should be concerned about. Your hand should be pointed towards the altars and saying, oh God, in the name of the Lord Jesus, grant their petition. Grant their desire, Almighty God. Hallelujah. Heal the afflicted. Save the lost. Deliver the ones in bondage. We love you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Let him have his way. Can you believe that he's answering your prayer? Can you believe he's granting that petition to you? I feel the peace of a living God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. We love you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. We love you, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. The Bible teaches us that he grants our petitions to us even before we ask. Amen. Did you come into the altars this morning with that kind of faith? Did you come this morning believing that? Amen. Hallelujah. Let's sing another song together.
Jesus, Jesus.
Invite him in your heart. I hope you're hungering for him. I hope you want more of him this morning. I hope that's your desire. Jesus. Brother Chris Odie came by my shop yesterday. He said he appreciates the prayers. He said the doctors a few weeks back didn't give him any hope. Had cancer. They named it numerous places in his body. He came into my shop yesterday. He said, Brother Rob, he said, it's just the prayer. He said, the grace of God. But he said they can't find it now. They're wanting to run more tests. And I said, well, he said they think they made a mistake. And I said, they always say that. They always say that. Well, we've made a mistake. We've misdiagnosed. Brothers and sisters, we got to stand and believe, and we got to pray. Don't wait till some affliction comes to you that you got to get a hold of faith in God. Get a hold of faith in God for others. Stand and pray and believe and trust and travail, like Paul said, until Christ be formed in them. Hallelujah. It's your obligation. It's your duty. It's your service to be partakers at the altars and to stand in the gap and to pray, to howl between the porch and the altars and be calling upon the Lord for the afflictions and the infirmities of others. Amen. Let your life be a living sacrifice. Get under the burdens. If there's one laboring in the gospel, get under the burden with him and labor with him. If there's one going forth in the gospel field, help him, send him forth, that you can be partakers of the reward of life.
We hope this message has enlightened and encouraged you. If you would like other messages and teachings from Brother Rob, please feel free to contact us. Our web address is christiantempleonline.org. Or you may write us at Christian Temple, P.O. Box 735, High Point, North Carolina, 27261. We, the brothers and sisters at Christian Temple, would like to invite you to come and worship with us. Our services are on Sunday morning at 10 a.m., Wednesday night at 7 p.m., and we also have a Friday night service at 7 p.m. We are located at 304 Green Oak Drive, just off Highway 62 in Archdale. Thanks again, and may God richly bless you.